Cinéphile. Roslyn Hyams.
Hello and welcome to this first Cinéphile of 2019. We have a Franco-French picture this time called Les Invisibles, The Invisible People in English. It's actually a film which shines a light on those who in towns and cities we may walk past or drive past, not notice or choose not to notice. It may be politically incorrect now, but we used to talk specifically about bag ladies, never bag men. Today, whatever the gender to describe their condition, we talk about homeless people instead. Louis-Julien Petit's film, Les Invisibles, is about a group of specifically homeless women who find some solace, warmth and basic care in a day centre. Rule number one, however, they all leave at the end of the day.
C'est 8h, pas 7h55, je sais pas quoi vous êtes en train de chouiner là.
Vous entrez, vous sortez vos cartes du centre.
C'est son pseudonyme, la Sicheline. Brigitte Bardot.
Brigitte Bardot.
The centre is faced with closure due to funding cutbacks. The woman called Manu, who set up the centre, decides with her colleagues and the homeless visitors to let them all sleep there to show their determination to revive these women's self-esteem and enable them to become independent and to continue to provide care for those who need it. Well, two guests up for this film, who my colleague Sébastien Jedor met in Angoulême. First up, director Louis-Julien Petit. Some of the actresses in his film had been homeless women. He says acting in the film Les Invisibles allowed them to become part of society again. He also said it was like a film within a film.
On a auditionné 150 femmes, j'ai fait des ateliers avec elles pour
savoir. We auditioned 150 women. I did workshops with them to understand how they would react and how they express themselves alone or as part of a group. I did dozens of workshops. As we shot continuously, they gradually picked it up, each of them taking on previously written roles and adopting their character. It was an emotionally powerful time in the Welcome Centre. It's a sunny film about women who find their place in society, but they had to regain self-confidence and re-establish bonds as we went along, off camera. It was like a film within a film.
Il y avait le film dans le film.
But he also pays tribute in this film to social workers, who he says are, likewise, invisible people.
They work with strength and conviction, with passion. It's hard because when they find a job or a home for a person who's been living in the street, often they never receive any thanks. People don't come back to these centres because they are ashamed or for other reasons. These social workers are also the invisible people.
C'est aussi elles les invisibles, ces travailleuses sociales.
Ça tourne. Cinéphile, RFI's movie pick.
Manu, played by actress Corinne Massiero, who has her own personal experience of living on the street, helps the women build on skills they had in their previous lives before they had to live rough. Nicknamed Brigitte Bardot or Lady Di or other famous personalities, they're scrubbed up and applying for jobs or falling in love, and they start to get back on track. Actress Corinne Massiero talks about this tender and meaningful film, which has a serious political and social message.
C'est inspiré de nos commentaires.
The strength of Louis-Julien's film, which is inspired by a documentary, is that it's also a comedy. Even if the women's stories are very tough or violent, there are very funny moments when you can take a breather. You can say, wow, that hit me right between the eyes, but I'll just calm down and think about all of this and find a solution.
Qui qu'on soit, quand on sort de ce film-là, on se pose des questions. Et on cherche des solutions.
Massiero says she hopes that more original screenplay French films like Louis-Julien's Discount and Les Invisibles, films with social substance and which are entertaining, will be produced more often.
Take two. Ça tourne. Cinéphile, guest of the month.
Raoul de la Fuente is the co-director of Another Day of Life, a film which was included in the Cannes Film Festival official lineup in May last year, which has proven to be a strong launching pad. This combination of motion capture, animation and documentary interviews is based on the real-life account of a Polish reporter's experience in the Angolan War in the 1970s. The animation work is that of Damien Nenow from Poland.
It's a special kind of oppressiveness we feel now. Because this is a lesson drawn from history, that blood will flow. Africa is awakening.
Feels good, huh?
Are you crazy? You're not taking a step out of this city. How many different ways can I tell you no?
There's my story. I don't need the permit if you take me there.
You're crazy.
Could be more serious, my friend.
Through the late Richard Kapuscinski's eyes and writings, Della Fuente introduces us to rebel fighter Carlotta, who dreams of a better future for her country.
Are you a spy or what?
Relax, Carlotta.
He's our friend.
To the legendary Commander Farrusco, a Portuguese soldier turned Angolan revolutionary, Queiroz, the voice of sanity, and Kapuscinski's good friend, and Alberto, the sensitive film reporter.
What are you going to report?
Arthur, we are the only journalists in the world with this information.
I met Raúl de la Fuente in Paris.
Kapuscinski is the origin of everything. I was in love with his literature since I was a teenager. So one day I decided to make a film about Kapuscinski. This is the main idea for me, making a film about Kapuscinski. So me and Amaya, the producer and co-writer, we decided to adapt Another Day of Life because it happens in 75. It's a spy mood thriller. It's a countdown. It's a moment where we are leaving the Cold War with USA and Soviet Union trying to control the world, and they are playing a big game, like a chessboard, in Angola. So both, they want to control Angola, the new burning country, because they have diamonds and petrol. So it was a big action-wise mood, and they are Russians, they are Cubans, South Africans, the CIA, Kissinger, Fidel. Everything was there. Che Guevara, of course, inspiring everything. So for me, it was, I couldn't say no.
Why did you decide to mix a documentary form where you interview some of those people who'd actually spent time and faced the dangers with Kapuscinski with motion capture animation?
Yeah, with animation, we tried to create legend. I think Kapuscinski is something big for me, and for me, creating an animated and comic book style Kapuscinski was the proper decision, and also a special animation because it's based in motion capture, what means that human beings are acting and we are capturing his movements, so they move like human beings, and many people came to me saying, wow, I forgot it's an animation film, I forgot that, and for me this is very important, and also animation because the comic appeals to our childhood. When you were a kid, you were reading comics, no? For me, making this kind of film was very romantic because it was appealing our childhood. And the most important thing for me is trying to create something new. That's the reason why I decided to create a hybrid film, combining the animation with live action, but live action of the survivors of this war. So what means that we can see Kapuscinski under fire in the trenches with Commander Farrusco, for example, and we discover the real Farrusco, the real commander, 40 years older, and telling us what happened there. So for me, and for Kapuscinski, said sense of life is crossing borders, not only physical, but also aesthetic. And for me, that was a big challenge and inspiration, trying to create a new journey, a new way of approaching reality, also trying to connect, because it's an action film, it's an adventure film, it's a war film with a spy mode, with it's a big countdown till independence, so it's a big trip to the heart of darkness with a lot of action and chases and bombings, invasions. So I also wanted to create an action film to give entertainment to people, but a historical moment that is really forgotten in the history books. So the mission of Kapuscinski is trying to cross the whole country, crossing the front lines, to try to see if Farrusco exists or not, and if he is alive or dead. So the big mission for our hero is try to reach Farrusco.
There's one character we haven't mentioned in the film. The film really starts with that. It's that Confusão.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this sort of sense of chaos, mm-hmm. particularly in times of war.
Yeah. I think Confusão is the key word in the film. It was the title of the first script we wrote together, Maya and me, Confusão. And Kapuscinski wrote, when you understand the meaning of Confusão, you understand everything. So you need to read the book and to watch the film to understand what Confusão is. But it's a state of chaos and disorder. It's a kind of lack of control. And it's a weird situation that everything is ruling wrongly. And as much as you try to solve it, you are creating much more Confusão, much more confusion. And Kapuscinski said that sometimes you need only to wait a little bit, trying to let Confusão pass by like a storm, you know? And Confusão means now the world who is ruling the world. Confusão means Trump, Putin. Confusão means Syria war. Confusão means migrants dying in the sea nowadays. And now I think we are living in the Confusão times. And yes, of course, I'm preparing new projects, and where Confusão is the real princess.
And we wish you all the very best with your film.
Merci beaucoup.
Another Day of Life is still going strong on the international festival circuit and released in halls in France in January. And I'll be back soon with more about French films and movies from other parts of the universe. From me, Roselyn Hyams, and until next time, à bientôt.
On est pas bien là, hein?